How about a nice hand for Annie Sirotniak, who's been your MC Friday through Sunday. She works in the mornings, the evenings. I'm gonna spell her just for a second. My name's Jerry Mills. I've been hosting the Rocky Mountain Bluegrass Radio Show since, I don't know when, early 80s or something, and it's always been a pleasure to play the music of Sam and Del on the radio because they always lift your show up. And these two veterans of bluegrass have unpacked their musical bags and unique ideas in a lot of different places over the years, and they've been wanting to do this duo for quite some time. So to help share their journey, please make a big, big Rocky Grass welcome to Del McCurry and Sam Bush. Hope you can take what we're fixing to give you. Because when you stand up here with Del McCurry, you better be ready, because he is.
Every type of girl here. We got to ramble the ramble.
Can you hear Dell?
Oh, you can't hear me. Oh.
Dell, I love what you're saying.
Can you hear me now? Oh, I see.
Oh, yeah.
But should I repeat everything I just said? Well, I just said that Sam Bush is ready today, buddy. He's ready for you folks. And so am I. And this Rocky Grass crowd is a great crowd to play to, and we're just proud to be here today. Now, it's not exactly word for word what I said the first time, but I hope it'll suffice. Let's see now. Hey, all right. This one here features Sam Bush right here.
We will basically be featuring each other throughout the evening. Considering how there's only two of us.
Yeah.
That way, that stuff works out.
It just works out like that. It does.
I just got to tell you, I first saw Del McCoury play in 1966 at the Roanoke Bluegrass Festival in Pencastle, Virginia. And, I'm glad I finally figured out what his real name is, because the man who was putting that festival on, his name was Carlton Haney. And where was he from, Bill? Virginia, North Carolina?
Yeah, they're right on the line there, Leedsville, North Carolina, you know, which is almost Virginia.
And I was there in the audience digging all my favorite bands, and on to my surprise came this man who totally knocked it out of the park that night. And
but I
wasn't really sure what his name was for a while, because the way Carlton Haney said it, he went, "Ladies and gentlemen," he had North Carolina sort of accent. Yeah. Del McCoury. And I thought, man, I like this Del McCoury guy.
You got him down, Sam. That's him, yeah.
Yeah, you look good, Del McCoury. And wasn't until about a year later I read a Bill Monroe album credit that said Del McCoury. Well, that makes sense. Glad to be up here with you, Delma.
Yes. Good to be here, Samba.
When it's coming on and it's 20 below, soul, so where can he go? We'll take him in the garden and we'll cut him in the well. Shoot him in the bottom, just listen to him yell.
He's big around the middle and he's broad across the rump. Running by 9 miles an hour, taking 30 feet a jump. Ain't never been caught, ain't never been treated. Time folks say, looks a lot like me.
Y'all, I believe it's time to hear Del McCurry sing one. Well, you know, this song here, I used to sing with Bill Monroe years ago, and it was one of his classic duets that he first recorded, I think, with Lester Flatt. And, of course, me and Sam, we don't intend to sound like Lester Flatt and Bill Monroe. We want to sound like Sam Bush and Del McCurry. Only way I know how to sound.
Yeah. Two-eyed blues.
A set list up here, friends, that apparently, about 2 months ago we played and we marked out half of it.
Yeah, and we have
to trying to get it back together.
We're trying to get it back together and read between the lines there that they're on that paper, you know. Just
what I think is, whatever Dell wants to sing, that's what we should do.
Well, I'll tell you, Sam, you know, this song, I first heard a guy by the name of Clyde Moody sing this years ago. He's a guy from down there, and they called him a Carolina woodchopper years ago, and he was the one that made famous the Shenandoah Waltz, and he was a member of the Grand Ole Opry one time. But, you know, a lot of folks have recorded it since then, and I never did, so that's why we're doing it now, because it's something a little different for us, you know.
Friends, can you take it? We're practicing up. We're supposed to play in Las Vegas next week. Is it getting too slick for you up here? Thank you. Thank you so much.
Anyhow.
Back to you, Dell.
All right. Well, I know what it means to be lonesome. I know what it means to be blue. And I know what it means to be lonesome and green. When there's someone there with you. Oh, the baby left me this morning as the clock was striking four. And a sweet smiling face to my darling. I may never see no more. I know what it means to be lonesome. I know what it means to be blue. And I know what it means to be lonesome and free. When there is someone there with you. Tune, and this is one that don't get played much, and so we're trying to do some things, you know, that nobody does a whole lot. They may have done it once in a while, but not a whole lot, have they?
Not a whole lot, and well, somebody told us recently, you guys are the Monroe Brothers of the new millennium.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Okay, we'll take that.
And as I said, the first show we ever played. Standing up here, just guitar and mandolin, my respect for Ron McCurry grows by the second. All right. We tend to do a few Bill Monroe tunes through the set, and Dell was in one of the greatest Bill Monroe bands that ever played, and they probably used to play this with Bill, and not all bluegrass tunes are fast. They're not all fast and furious. Matter of fact, some of them were called stomps.
Yeah, that was that era, you know, where they had those stomps. I never did remember what they did. Maybe they done this. What do you think?
So here's a stomp. This is the bluegrass stomp.
Thank you.
And Sam Bush, how about it? Well, it's this one we wrote now, I'll tell you. We figured, well, when we're going to do some shows together, we better write something. So we got together and wrote at least one, didn't we?
We wrote one. Yes,
we wrote one together. We're going to
do
that one.
It's crazy
right now.
Because, you know, we get together and we thought, let's make us up a song. And here we are, two of the happiest married guys we know. Not to each other. God.
Where are they at?
I don't get it, Dill.
These wives we're talking about.
One's over there.
Oh, there's one here? Okay. Well, let's make sure they're here.
Around the part of the country we live in, and I don't know if you get this out here, but every once in a while you'd be playing at a bluegrass festival and you run into a guy that's carrying a mason jar, a ball jar,
yeah,
full of liquor
instead of beans.
Bill and I wrote this under what would a guy do that got too drunk on moonshine and can't find his wedding ring? Well, I see some of you have been there. Usually over in this section, apparently. And we'll get more into this later, but if you, I don't know if you guys ever noticed, but Dell loves to sing the word blue. It goes along, and no, for the happiest guy in the world, nobody has the blues more than Del McCurry. So here's one we made up together.
Yeah.
It's called "I'm the Bluest Man in Town." Got to tell you, friends, when I got to meet Dell, I got to actually finally meet him in 1970, Gettysburg Bluegrass Festival, and we made pals, and then later on, way later on that year, I guess about a year and a half later, We all ended up at the same bluegrass festival down in Lakeland, Florida. Del McCurry and the Dixie Pals, and the band Newgrass Revival, the Osborne Brothers, and oh, it was just a fine time. Fine country and western time down there.
It sure was. It was at George Jones Park, right behind his house there in Lakeland, Florida, and he was riding around there in a Model A Ford. He's having a better time than we were, wasn't he? And he said, "Now, boys, I have to leave here tomorrow. I got to go over to Mississippi. Me and, what's his wife's name, the singer?
Tommy. Tammy.
Tammy, that's right, yeah. He said, "Now, Tammy and I have to go over to Mississippi and play tomorrow night, so I won't see you guys. I'm having a good time here, but I just can't stay. I got to leave you tonight, and I'll be back Sunday." Well, anyway, next morning we got up, I don't know, about 12 o'clock, and there he is riding around that Model A Ford again, and we said, "Well, we thought you'd have to go over there in Mississippi and play today." "No, I just sent Tammy."
And I was having the time of my life, except that I'd had my right hand smashed in a car door on the way there, and couldn't really pick. But that was the first time anybody named Dell ever looked at me and just said, "Well, you can't pick, but you can just sing, can't you?" Never thought of doing that before. You can't sing without an instrument. And so, thank you for always encouraging me to sing. Thank you, Bill.
Yes, sir, man. Glad to. And, you know, I'd like to say, too, that this song we're about to sing here, there was a guy that's here today, and I won't say where he's at because you'll flock around him. We don't want to do that. But he is the one that I heard sing this song with Bill Monroe back in whenever it came out on record, you know.
But I can say it, right?
You can say it, yeah.
Yeah, when I first heard this tune is way older than Bill Monroe. But the first time I ever heard it was in a duet with Bill Monroe and Peter Rowan.
There you go.
So we're going to dedicate this to Peter Rowan today.
Yes, sir.
I learned it from you, brother.
We all did, I guess.
"'Twas midnight on a stormy deep. Solitary watch I keep, and to think of her left behind, and asking she be true and kind. I never shall forget the day thank you.
Thank you so much. And when you hear Del McCurry sing the tenor on that, you have heard it.
Wasn't too good today.
I liked it. Well, and when we got together to start practicing a little bit, do a few duet shows, we made up one together, and Del came to the house loaded for bear. He had one he just wrote, what, that day or the day before?
Yeah, I think it was. That day. I thought, well, I better get to work here last time.
That's true. He had to get to work. Slacker that he is. But here's one that Del wrote, and kind of goes along with, I don't think I'm the only one that ever noticed how much he loves the word blue. Why even the Del McCurry model D28 Martin guitar has little blue dots in the fingerboard?
They turn black.
So here's Del going to sing one that he wrote for you. This is called I'm Blue. Here we go.
I didn't sing like I wrote it, but you did.
Yeah, as long as one of us knows it. Here's a tune that I love the way Del sings tenor on this. Recorded quite a few years ago, written by a friend from Johnson City, Tennessee. His name is Ed Snodderly. And Ed's a fine singer and songwriter. And when he was a boy, because he used to go to, it's pronounced Elizabethton, Tennessee. You can go to Elizabethton, you go to the Majestic Hotel, and he met an old shoeshine man that he really loved, and they became good pals. So this is a song about Lee the shoeshine man. This is called Majestic.
Sam's going to pick one.
If I have to, I will.
encore last night. But I'd like to tell you a little bit about the song. You know, there was a song that Ola Belle Reed wrote one time back. I don't know exactly when she wrote it, but I used to play Sunset Park up in West Grove, PA, quite a bit back in the early days, and she was playing in a staff band there. So she came to me one day and she said, I've got some songs you might like to hear. And I said, well, you know, I'm glad you've got some songs because I need some. I'm going to record a record. And so I got a tape recorder and a little reel tape recorder, reel to reel. And I taped them. I said, do you mind if I put them on tape? Because I'll forget them tomorrow if I don't put them on a piece of tape. So this is one that she said. She said, now you take this song and you do it up in your own fashion. And I said, well, I'd rather do it up in your fashion, the way you sing it. But you know, as years go by, you keep changing things. And this one is out of High on the Set change.
Big production here. We have a set change. And when we play in a smaller atmosphere, ladies and gentlemen, the greatest microphone holder ever, Ron McCurry. Oh, have I learned to respect you. And I know what you folks are thinking. You know, sometimes Dell and I, we go around and do these shows together, and we travel in a bus. And you, like I, may be wondering, what in the world would his hair look like when he climbs out of a bunk in the morning? And I got to tell you, friends, to my amazement, he looked absolutely perfect. Nobody looks more perfect than Dell. So basically, I had to ask him that day, and I'll ask him in front of everybody right here. Dell, because you know, when I crawl out of a bunk in the morning, some of you may have seen the movie Quest for Fire. But Dell looked perfect. How do you do that? How do you crawl out of a bunk and look just so beautiful and good looking? How do you get that hair to do that? Test, can you hear us okay?
Test.
That will bother old Road Hog a bit, but so Dell, may I ask, how do you get your hair to do that first thing out of the bunk in the morning?
Check. Well, Sam, as I said before, I have a little nightstand beside my bunk, you know. You've seen that before, I guess. Well, I just reach out and I just pull it down on, see?
What about the teeth?
Well, you know what? Oh, yeah. Oh, the teeth, too. I stick them in, yeah. They're back there looking for my picks. I've got a set of picks to play this thing with, but I don't know where they're at.
We're going to need those. You found them.
My picks, but that don't matter. I don't pick that well anyway.
But really, when we started doing this, I just said, Dell, would you pull out the 5-string? Would you play the banjo for the folks just one time? Would you? Good and loud.
It's loud.
But am I correct, Dell, when you first were going to go play with Bill Monroe, were you originally supposed to be a banjo picker?
Well, yes, in a way. In fact, the first job I played with Bill was in New York City, and he needed a banjo player, and I went up there, and so I thought, well, we'll probably go up there and tune up and rehearse all these songs, you know. And we got up there, and we tuned up. That was it. We walked right out on stage, and I wasn't sure I knew all of Bill Monroe's songs, you know. But then he told me that night, he said, now, I'll give you a job playing the banjo, but I still need a lead singer and a guitar player. So he talked me into trying that, so I did it. And I just kind of forsake the banjo. I sure did. Till today.
I think it worked out pretty well for you, buddy. And then let's do one with just the fiddle and the banjo. Here we go. Substitution, Ron McCurry. Now Dell can literally lay the thumb to it. Trying to get Ronnie just go and play the fiddle as well.
They don't have to play.
Thank you.
Whew, I'm glad that's over.
I knew he could do it.
Folks, I was glad to do that for you. I wish I had done it better. Thank you. Of course, you know, Sam Bush is a renowned fiddle player and also a mandolin player, but he plays a lot of sessions there in Nashville and a lot of songs you hear coming out over country radio. He plays a lot of the fiddle on that stuff, don't you? Yes, he does. I'm telling you that now.
Thank Rob Stokes for running the sound with us. Thank you, Rob.
Yeah, Rob.
And we'd like to thank you folks here at Rocky Grass for letting Dell and I do the Monroe Brothers of the New Millennium. Thank you.
Yeah.
We're going to go back now. Dell's going to give me a new hairdo. But we thank you very much for being here, and thank you for Planet Bluegrass having us do this little duet show that we do on occasion.
Yes.
I'd like to remind you, tomorrow night, Sam Bush Band will be playing later in the evening, so hopefully you can stay around for that. And, but whenever I first heard Del McCurry, I dreamt of getting to play duets with him, so thank you for letting that be a reality. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
We got time for one more. Odell and I got time for 20 more, but the Rocky Grass Festival needs to bring on, you know, say more people to play.
Yes, that for sure. Yeah.
I guess we can go home and play if we want to really keep doing it, huh? But this one is a tune that was written by my mandolin hero. I've got a couple of them, Bill Monroe, and you may not be familiar with him, but his name was Jethro Burns. And Jethro was part of the great comedy team called Homer and Jethro. And after his partner Homer died in the early 70s, Jethro became known as this great mandolin player, which he always was. And he always was the guy that, although he was Bill Monroe's age, they didn't really know each other.
And
people assumed they had a feud going, and they never did. They just didn't know each other. But Jethro was the kind of guy that taught me that if you're going to make fun of anybody, you got to make fun of everybody.
Including yourself.
Start with yourself, of course. And so Jethro, after he met Bill Monroe and they became pals, he wrote this tune under the guise, he was talking about other mandolin players, didn't he, Del?
Yes, he did, yeah. He had, and you know, he put Sam Bush in there, so he had a lot of respect for Sam Bush's playing, you know. And of course, it takes talent to know talent, and he knew talent when he heard it.
In that case, I know Dell.
No.
But this is a tune that Jethro was making fun of everybody, all his mandolin picking buddies, and he was especially making fun of Bill Monroe in this because everybody loved us except old Bill. Here we go. Outside of Tennessee, well, they probably never heard old Dell and me. Chances are they probably never will. But I'm a mandolin picking son of a gun, and old Dell McCurry, he's number one. And nobody does it better except old Bill.
friend of mine. He's a super picker, and I ain't a lion. He plays so fast, it leaves me a standing still. The grass he plays ain't always blue. Don't bother me, shouldn't bother you. Everybody loves him, except old Bill.
He's the dog, he's really eating behind the hall. There ain't a concert hall that he can't fill. The one thing that always baffled me is, why does he play everything in a minor key? Well, nobody does it better except old Bill. Picking Jesse, now he's a hoss. But as long as mandolins are made and bluegrass music's being played, Bill Monroe is gonna be the boss.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, friends. This all kind of got started because when all the McCreary family moved to Nashville, they really helped bring the bluegrass community in Nashville together simply by throwing a whole lot of picking parties, where it be Dell and Gene's house, or Ron and Allison, or Robbie's house,
Rob
and Lisa. They all throw jam sessions, and we'd play a long time, and that was when we discovered we had fun singing duets together.
Yeah.
And then after we'd sing a long time, then we'd just sit around the table telling stories for a long time.
We did.
First go bigger.
But you know, the first jam session I remember was at your house before you moved. Remember that? Long time ago. And then, but we got to sing and pick a lot together all through the years, and we admired each other's playing and singing. And I tell you what, this tune that Sam is about to play, you know, we got together and I said, why don't you play that? I'm not going to tell you the name of the tune because I'll let him do it. But nobody plays that tune, and nobody can play it like you can, Sam. So I said, play it again, Sam. No, I told him, I said, boy, I love the way you play that tune. Oh, I'm not sure about this tune. I'm just not sure about it. And I said, well, I love to hear you do it. And I know everybody else will, too, because you hardly ever hear this tune.
No, we both, Del and I, admire this tune written by Bill Monroe. And this is one of his latter-day numbers. And he actually recorded this with, there was a string section on the record, an actual orchestra. Norman Blake played guitar. And Bill was always really inventive. You might not think about it, but he was also awfully progressive in things he would think about on the mandolin. He would, in what you call cross-tuning a mandolin, where you don't keep all of your strings in unison tuned. So then it gives you some... This one is tuned to D minor or something.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
Well, I don't either, but I know I found out. But... And even the melody is incredibly haunting on this tune, as is the title. And Bill wrote this, what, in the last 5 years of his life, I guess?
I think he did, yeah.
So this one, and Del and I discovered we both love this tune. Want to dedicate this one to Craig Ferguson, who's having us here tonight.
Yes.
And all the Planet Bluegrass. Hey, folks, if you think if it looks really easy to do this, then they've done a hell of a job for you. So
Exactly. Credit
Planet Bluegrass for making it all work.
And by the way, Sam, Craig knows what that note is there. He's asking. He knows everything.
He knows the notes.
He does. Which one was it? When we get through, we'll ask him what that is. He'll tell us.
This one is called My Last Days on Earth.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you, folks. Thank you, Craig.